something fell on my heart this last week as a reminder. And I have probably gone back and dwelled on it every day since the Lord brought the reminder to me. I don't know, maybe last Tuesday or Wednesday. And it's been sitting there, and I know the Lord is still just reminding me this morning. I just want to maybe take a look and talk about it today. This is not new information, but I think as intercessors, this is critical information, because this is where we understand why we intercede, why we're called to intercede, maybe the difference between intercession and prayer. And so this is pretty basic, but I think it's so critical. And it gives us some scriptural foundation for why we do what we do. And so in John 16, there's a few verses where Jesus is talking and promising the gift of the Holy Spirit. And in that promise that Jesus gives us, he is giving the descriptor of what the Holy Spirit is coming for and to do. And as intercessors and as the bride, it's not just intercessors, but obviously the bride, if we understand the function of the Holy Spirit, I think we're more aware of what's happening. And I think we can agree with the Spirit as he's moving. And I think this set of verses is not just individual. I think this is corporate too. I think this is both the Holy Spirit coming in the individual and the Holy Spirit manifest for the body, for the corporate gathering. So let's take a look at John 16. We're just going to read a few verses here in, we'll start with 5. But now I am going to him who sent me. This is Jesus speaking. And none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper shall not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. And concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you no longer behold me. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall take of mine and shall disclose it to you. And all things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he takes of mine and will disclose it to you. There is, as I read this even more again, there's so much depth here in what Jesus is saying. And I know that as Jesus is speaking this to the disciples, they couldn't fathom everything. But do you remember that moment when Jesus had risen and he had resurrected and he came to see the disciples and he opened their minds to understand everything that he had taught them? Do you remember that moment in the Word? It's like Jesus knew that as he was speaking to these guys for 3 years or so, that they weren't able to grasp all this. But I believe Jesus was saying this for them so that later he could open their minds and they would remember. And two, he's saying this for us. I feel like Jesus is like, I know these 12 guys may or may not understand this at this moment, but all the way down through time, I'm saying this for my sons and daughters, for believers everywhere. And so I love this reminder of what the Holy Spirit came for. So let's take a look at this and let's kind of keep in mind that this is both for us individually and for corporate gatherings. Now, one of the things that I think of when I look at this and I'm reminded of this is I came to understand a good many concepts in theory by someone else's word, mostly Pastor Corey Jones out of Fort Worth, Crossroads Tabernacle, at the Awakening Prayer Conference every year. So every year I would go to Awakening Prayer Conference, I was introduced to concepts I did not understand in my religious context. And then I was awakened to the greater truth of the kingdom by actually digging into the word myself. And then all of a sudden, I'm trying to find people who are speaking this language, who are living this life. And so some of these things I understood only in theory by a word of someone else. But since then, the Lord has backed up that theory or that preaching or that word of someone else with his word. And this is one of those things. And here's what I mean. Several years ago, you don't hear it as much today, but maybe a little bit. But several years ago, everyone was using this catchphrase. We are a presence-driven church. How many of you know what I'm talking about? We're a presence-driven church. We're a presence-driven church. And I love that. I love that phrase. But I want to be like, what does that mean? What does that mean? What does that practically look like to be a presence-driven church? And so when we would go to Awakening Prayer Conference and Corey would say, you know, we have to be a place, a group, a gathering. And this is for our church services. This is for our prayer groups. This is for our home and our family. Anytime two or three are gathered, right, and we're gathering in the name of Jesus, we have to be a place that hosts the manifest presence of the Spirit of God well. We know that we can quench the Spirit. We know that we can offend and hurt and insult the Spirit. We can. And we know that he will often not dwell in a place where he's not welcome. So we learn early on that we have to be a place that the Lord feels welcome to send his Spirit to manifest, to dwell, to abide. We've been talking about abiding. And I'm using this in a corporate context right now. These are not high, lofty ideas. Let's simplify this. We have to be welcoming for he's not the guest, he's the leader to come and lead us. Why would a leader come and lead us when we tell him what to do and we give him a few seconds here or a few minutes there, and then we plan everything else out? Why would the leader come lead us? I'm so sorry. Why would the leader come lead us if we're already leading ourselves? We talk about the Holy Spirit doesn't share space. God doesn't have to share space, right? He's a jealous God. He wants all of us. And he's not going to force you to do his will. He is going to invite you to go on the journey to do his will. But if you are dead set on doing something against his will, he's going to let you do that. He's not going to try to force you to do it his way. He's not going to share space. It's the same in a corporate setting. Holy Spirit doesn't have to come and dwell where he may be a guest and we may give him a corner of the room. And I think there's far too many churches that are doing church even yet today, and they're not even aware that the Holy Spirit isn't there manifest in their presence. It sounds like an indictment, but I think we need to know what's happening, because otherwise, we don't know how to pray. I also think that when we do that, it's a religious atmosphere because we're going through the motions. And when we're going through the motions and we think we're doing them so well because we're performing well, we're singing well, the music's good, there's a lot of people, there's a lot of money in the offering, the preaching is good, the speaker's good. And it's just like, wow, what a great service, because we get a little buzz off a good performance, but there was no manifest presence and we didn't recognize it. And that has been such a huge concern to me since my awakening. I have to be careful. But my parents live in another state, and my parents go, for a while, they were going to a church, and they would always want us, when we would visit, to go to church with them. And we would do that because you honor your parents. I honor my parents. I love them. And so we would go and sit there. And my heart was so heavy, and I almost was grieved in my spirit. And I said, Lord, why am I so heavy in this church service? The music's great. There's tons of people here. Everybody looks good. The church is beautiful. Why am I so heavy in my spirit? And the Lord just revealed to me, I'm sad. So you're sad, and I'm sad because I'm not manifesting there, and nobody realizes it. And I was so grieved. And that has stuck with me. It's happened several times throughout the years for ministry as we're doing revival or singing worship. And there's a grief that comes over me. It's, and I want to get stuck on this, but I think it's important that we understand there is the Holy Spirit that dwells in the believer. And then there's the manifest spirit that dwells around us in the corporate body. And if we don't make him feel welcome and give him free rein, then sometimes we don't realize we've fallen into religious tradition and we're not actively engaging with the Lord. Jesus gives us the exact markers of what happens when the Holy Spirit comes. So say you're going to a church, or maybe you're in a prayer group, or maybe you're leading a church. And there's, I don't know, there's no condemnation here. Just remember this. But here's what I do. If I, as a pastor, want to be so careful that we are totally led by the Spirit and we are a presence-driven church, not in catchphrase, but in reality, I need to know what to do to make the Spirit welcome. And I need to know what to do to make sure he's there so that I recognize it. Because sometimes, Don prayed it, we want to feel him, but sometimes he's there and we don't feel him. We have to believe by faith. There's a little bit of faith involved here. So here's what Jesus says. Jesus says, when the Holy Spirit comes, here's what he's going to do. First, he's going to convict the world of sin. And he goes on to say, concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. So what is the first thing that he does is when the Holy Spirit comes and manifests, he convicts those that are lost that they need a savior. The Holy Spirit shows the lost that they need a savior and that that savior is Jesus Christ. That's what he does when he comes. So if we're in a corporate body and the Holy Spirit comes, there should be repentance. Hallelujah. People should want to repent. That is a sign and wonder that follows the presence of the manifest spirit. He convicts people of their sin. He convicts the world of their sin. He convicts the lost of their sin. He convicts the backslidden of their sin. Okay? If there's sin that's hidden or known and the Holy Spirit is manifest, it will be made known to the individual, not because the pastor pointed it out, not because the people in the pews shook their finger, but because the manifest Holy Spirit came and convicted them, and that caused them to realize their need for a savior. They choose a savior, they repent. It is not in our job description to convict the world of sin. It is his. It's the Holy Spirit. What else does the Holy Spirit do when he comes? The Holy Spirit also convicts of righteousness. Now, here we are. We are talking to the church. There is a greater and a deeper work that has to happen after we receive salvation and we know it's entering into relationship and that abiding relationship. We talked about that last week, but it is our realization that we are called to be Christ-like, that he is our example. Come on, he is the goal which we are working our life toward. And it is the Holy Spirit that shows us this is Jesus. He is righteous. He is holy. And this is where you're falling short. If you continue in this behavior or in this thought pattern, you're not going to attain, right, Christ-likeness. And so Holy Spirit comes to those of us who are already in relationship with him. So he just doesn't convict the lost. He comes and convicts believers. Hey, there's more to this relationship. You can keep the word better. You can know Jesus deeper. You can example Jesus better. But you can't do it without me, he says. So here I am to help you. So that's the other thing he does. And what does it say in the word? It says, and concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you no longer behold me. What does that mean? We can't see Jesus in the flesh to example him. We can't model him in the flesh because we can't see him here with us. So he sends the Holy Spirit so we know what he's like by his word and his spirit. And then we can model Jesus. This is so simple, but it's remarkable, because if we're in corporate services, we should see people choosing salvation and repenting, and we should see people wanting to walk in deeper holiness. We call it often sanctification, purification, and we call it repentance, not just repentance for salvation, but now we see, here's an example. Here's a practical example. As I, a believer going deeper in the Lord, awakening, reading the word every day, and I'm interceding for my daughter, who's a prodigal at the time, the Holy Spirit revealed in me that there was a stumbling block in my life that kept me from being an adequate intercessor. And it was pride, self-righteousness, arrogance. Now, I had been a Christian a long time when he revealed that to me. And I was like, I see it. Well, I didn't see it in my flesh. I didn't see it in my mind. The Holy Spirit showed me where I wasn't walking in righteousness. So that's that verse played out. But here's something to know. If he dumped on us all of our unrighteousness at the moment of our salvation, we would be like, whoa, we can't handle this. He's such a good God that he saves us, and then he slowly reveals to us the things that need to be peeled away by repentance. Amen. That's so good. He's such a good God. This is the manifest Holy Spirit. It does it in our personal life, and he does it in the corporate setting. And so again, in the corporate setting, you should see signs and wonders of people getting saved. And that is a sign and wonder. That is a sign and wonder. You should see people choosing to be purified, sanctified, holy, or just repenting to be more Christ-like. I don't care what you call it. That too is a sign and wonder. Third thing, Holy Spirit comes to convict of judgment. This one isn't as easy to understand. I think after praying on this, this is the Lord's heart. You guys, check the Spirit, test the Spirit, see if I'm right here. It says that he comes to convict concerning judgment because the ruler of this world has been judged. Okay. Satan has been judged. He is defeated. But he's not going to let you know that. He's still talking, right? What is he doing? He's talking. He's lying. He's lying to you. He's lying to me. He's lying to all believers. And he's saying these things, hoping that we will agree with one lie. And when we do, we become in bondage to that lie. That lie becomes our truth. And now we're walking in shackles, bondage, and we're not free. We need deliverance. When that happens, we need deliverance. Deliverance doesn't come because you went to a deliverance minister. They spit in your face, they knocked you over, and they said, come out in Jesus' name. You're free from bondage and you are delivered because when the Holy Spirit comes and he convicts of the lie that we agreed with from the one who's already been judged, we can be free by the Spirit and the Word. Deliverance comes from the Holy Spirit. Okay? It comes from, we often need each other for this step because it comes from someone else, right? Speaking the words of the Holy Spirit often, but it can also come in a corporate setting when somebody's speaking truth and you realize I've agreed with something other than that truth. I've agreed with the lie from the one that's already been judged. He's already been judged. Why am I believing his lie? And the Holy Spirit's like, why are you believing this lie? How about we walk in my truth, right? We walk in my truth. So now we know when we gather together, we should see signs and wonders that follow his manifest presence being there to know we're looking to see if he's manifesting in our services and in our lives and in our gatherings. And so people ought to be getting saved. People ought to be choosing to walk deeper in holiness and Christ-likeness. And people ought to be seeing deliverance in their own life. These are signs and wonders. Now we know, and I'm not going into this, the 9 manifestations of the Spirit. We know the gifts of the Spirit, those 9 manifestations, those authentically happen when the Holy Spirit is there. Words of wisdom, words of knowledge, come on, faith, miracles, healing, tongues, interpretation of tongues, interpretation of spirits. Come on, we know those things happen also, but sometimes those can be manufactured, right? and they're not authentic. But when we see people getting delivered, saved, and sanctified, hang on. The presence of God is in the house. And we want that. You know why? Because without his presence, those things can't happen authentically. You want to know why we can go to a church and sit and do all the religious tradition and he's not even there and we don't even know it and we don't even realize the altars have this much dust on it and they've been using it as flowers because nobody comes forward and chooses to be saved and no one wants to be convicted or sanctified and no one even knows what that means anymore and we don't even talk about deliverance because it makes us uncomfortable. Those are the places the Holy Spirit is not dwelling. So, I don't know about you, but I need him. Every single hour, I need him. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour, I need thee. Not once on Sunday, okay? And so I want him to be the head, the leader, the guide. I want to acquiesce to him all the time. I need to know he is leading our people, the bride. And I need to know what he does when he comes. I need to know his function. And if there is a lack of these things happening, we might need to take a step back and wonder if he's manifesting well. And if he's not, what are we doing to keep him from not? So therein lies the question. We have to steward his presence in such a way that we keep honoring his leadership. We keep honoring his leadership. If in the middle of a song, we need to stop so someone can pray, stop and let them pray. I mean, we have to acquiesce to his leadership. We don't say, oh, honey, wait, don't come to the altar till the end. I haven't given the altar call yet. Don't do that. Let him have his way. It's uncomfortable. I don't know when I walk in if we're going to do two songs or 20. Sometimes we don't get past worship. That makes some people upset. I'm letting him lead. I want to please him, not people. I want to please him, not people. I'd better say this now or I might forget. In a presence-driven church, and really the presence of God is coming and manifesting and leading, and we're seeing these things happen, and we're seeing his signs, his gifts manifesting, we also see the inability for people to be able to stay unless they come under the correction. And here's what I mean. Oftentimes, when a church changes or really plants or walks in this reality, there are very few people that are untouched because when he's dwelling, people might not be able to articulate what's going on, but they come in and they're like, something is here, something is here. Some people say they feel the presence. Some people say this, that, and the other. But here's what I know. If you sit in the presence long enough week after week, you're going to have conviction of some kind because there's far too much there to not feel conviction, whether it's of your need for salvation and sin, or whether it's righteousness or it's judgment and deliverance, whatever it is, we sit there long enough, we're going to feel that conviction. We're going to know he's drawing us to someplace deeper. And if we do not repent and follow that correction of the Lord, now we have, right? Now we have said, no, thank you. He's offered us to walk in the obedience of correction. It's his kindness. It's love. It's kindness of a good father that corrects his children. But if we don't fall into correction and repent and obey what the Holy Spirit is leading, now we're growing cold. Now we're growing lukewarm or cold, and we're also sort of putting up this wall. And remember, I told you the Lord's not going to strive with you forever. He's going to show you in love. But listen, if you don't want to take that correction, it becomes very hard for you to come back and sit in his presence every week. It becomes so hard, in fact, that people find a reason to leave because they don't want to sit there in his presence every week. People who've gone to the church for years and years and years, all of a sudden can't stand being there because now there's something there that has shown them, hey, he's holy, I'm unholy, and he won't abide by sin in his holy presence, known willful transgression against him. When we don't correct and he shows us, that's sin in us. That's sin in us. And if we don't lay that down and repent after so many weeks or months of sitting in the manifest presence, people become sick and they're like, I can't go to that church because the pastor's crazy or the music's too loud or the color of the carpet offends me. They find a reason to be offended so they can leave because sitting in the presence of a holy God is too hard for someone who wants to hold on to sin. And that is why we see people leave who you never thought would leave. And I know this is terrible to hear, but we still need his manifest presence because we don't grow corporately without it. We aren't free. We aren't delivered. We aren't holy. We aren't sin-free. We need him. Jesus said, it's far better that I go, far better that I go, that you would have the helper, the Holy Spirit. You know what else he does? When the Holy Spirit comes, he is truth. He is the Spirit of truth, and he will guide us in all truth. I'm so thankful for this because if I mess something up or I get something wrong, the Holy Spirit will show us, that's not quite truth. It's almost truth. It's really close, but it's not quite truth. I am the Spirit of truth. I am going to guide you in truth. And so if we have a corporate misunderstanding of the word, don't panic, because if the Holy Spirit is made welcome to manifest and come and reside week after week in our gatherings, he's going to help us get to truth. Hallelujah. Stuff we didn't know were truth in the past. Now we're like, whoa, I misread that. I misunderstood that. That wasn't you getting smarter. That's the Holy Spirit leading you into all truth. I am so thankful. I can't even tell you how many times I've misunderstood something, and probably still am. And Holy Spirit is guiding me to truth because he is truth. Oh, wow. I love this. It's not just personal. It is personal. It's in my private prayer closet, but it's also corporate. We need the Holy Spirit. We cannot have church. We cannot be the church. We cannot be a body that gathers together in his name and gets anything accomplished, whether it's a Bible study or a prayer group or a service or a revival or a men's breakfast or women's ministries. I don't care what it is. We cannot afford to gather together in his name without his manifest presence. And I am tired of playing church, and I'm tired of watching other people play church, and I am tired of gathering our kids together only to have fun, or gathering our teens together only to have fun. And we're missing an opportunity to equip this next generation with the manifest presence of the Holy Spirit. Because we're uncomfortable. We don't know what's going to happen.
I'm sorry.
I promise you, I do not know what's going to happen when we let him lead. And sometimes Terry and I will sit there and know he's moving, and we're still trying to discern how. And so we wait. And you know what? Some people are like, why aren't they singing? Why isn't anybody speaking? Why is it so quiet? What are we doing? We're waiting, because I admit I need help discerning his voice and leadership sometimes. And we'll look at each other, and maybe Terry will say, Melissa, you need to pray. And I didn't know I needed to pray, but I'll open my mouth and pray. And sometimes he'll start singing something spontaneous. He's so gifted. And he starts singing something spontaneous, and it's my heart cry. And I didn't know it was my heart cry coming out of his mouth. And it's the Spirit leading. And it's not polished. It's not a performance. If you're looking for a dog and pony show, go somewhere else, because it's not polished. We don't know. We don't have a script. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't have a bulletin or an order of service either. And as long as we're in charge, or as long as we're pastors, we are not going to have one. Because you guys, I don't want to tell him when he can and can't move. If he wants to begin before service at prayer time, which sometimes he does, and nothing gets accomplished according to what we thought we were there for, fine. Fine. It's his service. It's his church. He's the head. Come and have your way. I think we need to know this last point, and then I'll hush and we can pray. Jesus says in 13, 14, and 15, the Holy Spirit discloses my heart. The Holy Spirit discloses the Father's heart. Holy Spirit knows all truth, brings all truth, and he knows the deep desires of both the Son and the Father. He knows how to tell us to pray so that we can agree with the deep desires of the Father and the Son. We don't guess. We couldn't guess. We don't know how to pray without him. And so we need him in our personal prayer time, in intercession, and we need him in our corporate prayer time, because otherwise we're going to be praying for something that's not on his heart right now. He's got a heart, and he understands that we are within linear time, and there are moments he needs us to agree with what's on his heart in that moment. It's called the window of intercession. Well, I called it that. I don't know what it's really called. But there are moments when he needs us to pray because someone's going to make a decision and he wants agreement. He's looking for someone to partner with him. He's looking for a bride to partner with him. He's looking for a prayer group to partner with him. We don't know how to partner with him unless we tap into the Holy Spirit, the manifest Holy Spirit, if we're in a corporate setting, and the Spirit guides us to pray according to the Son and the Father's heart's desire, so that we enter this partnership of intercession. This we know, right? But we need to know why. I don't want people spouting off some theme. Well, we're a presence-driven church. Well, we're a presence culture. That is so good, but do you know why? I understood this concept because someone else told me, but I didn't understand it until I got into the scripture and the Lord revealed it to me. Do you know why you need my presence? If you know why and you know what I do when I come, then you can recognize me when I'm not there and you can fix it and you can repent corporately until I come. And some churches, some places, and I've been there and I've been a part of them, we need to get on our face and repent until he comes back and apologize for not stewarding and hosting him well and offending him and hurting him and quenching him. We need to apologize and repent and say, if you'll give us another chance, if you'll give us another chance and you'll come back, we'll steward you well. I promise. And you know something? He will do it. He will come back. He will come back. Because he wants to dwell in us and around us, individually and corporately. Can we pray into this? Lord, I thank you for this reminder, but Lord, I can't get away from this. It can't just be my reminder. This gotta be my life. And Lord, I need to understand you better, and I can't without your Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit, you are the greatest gift. You are the greatest gift the Son has ever given us. And I don't want to neglect you. And Lord, when I see, oh, sometimes physical healings aren't happening, but somebody's getting saved, Lord, that is a miracle and a sign and a wonder because of your presence. Lord, thank you so much for showing us perspective, for teaching us not only how to pray, but for helping us understand when we go other places, what is missing and what we can do about it. Lord, we don't want you to feel neglected or ignored. You're not just the guest of honor, you're the leader of honor. We don't even know what we're doing without you. Forgive us for buying into the dog and pony show. Forgive us. I repent. Lord, I want to be so aware. Terry always sings this and he always says this. Lord, you are so aware of us. You are so aware of our presence. You are so aware of our frame and our need and our thoughts. Help us be half as aware of you as you are of us, because it changes everything. It changes everything. People can't get saved without your presence. Lord, people can't get delivered without your presence. Lord, people can't get sanctified without your presence. Holiness is not a concept only taught by certain denominations. It's from you by your Spirit. Lord, we need you. Lord, convict us of our need for more of your presence. And then I pray very selfishly, pour it out. Pour it out. Let it rain. We need more of your Spirit. We need more of your Spirit. And we promise we'll do our best to host you well. But may we overflow, Lord, with your Spirit. Lord, we don't want anything in the way. Less of us, more of you, more of you, more of your Spirit. We want to be so full you splash on every single person we come in contact with. Lord, help us. We need you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.